Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled The Spirit of Equality.
Luke 18:15-30.
People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." He replied, "I have kept all these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for mortals is possible for God." Then Peter said, "Look, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life."
So this morning, the first thing that grabbed me was this thing about people are bringing infants, and the word infants can be translated to newborns as well. So they're very young. They're not just children. They're really young ones. And often children are looked down on in those days and in our days today. They're seen as a lower class, as not helpful to the economy or to society. They're just a burden. And that is a terrible, terrible tragedy, because children are amazing. They are God's gift to this world. And there's another instance where the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest in Matthew 18:6. And Jesus says, "And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it'd be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Like, whoa. So that's pretty hard teaching from Jesus about children. And there's not much else in the Bible really about the gift that children are, other than the gift of Jesus being, you know, he didn't come to us as a king. He came to us as a child, which is pretty incredible. So I don't know if you've seen it, but, well, you won't have seen it, but tonight on the BBC, there's a documentary about Mo Farah. And I just want you to, it started me thinking about what we could pray about today. And so I want you to show you this little teaser about what it's going to be about Mo Farah and what he's been through.
Most people know me as Mo Farah, but it's not my name, or it's not the reality. The real story is I was born in Somaliland, north of Somalia, as Hussein Abdi Kahin. Despite what I've said in the past, my parents never lived in the UK. When I was 4, my dad was killed in a civil war. You know, as a family, we were torn apart. I was separated from my mother, and I was brought into the UK illegally under the name of another child called Mohammed Farah.
This is the visa document.
Yeah, this is the visa to come to the UK, and this was the document we came with.
You would have been 9, you hadn't turned 10 yet.
Yeah, that is my photo, but it's not my name. From that moment, coming in, it was a different name and different identity. I know I've taken someone else's place, but I do wonder, what is Muhammad doing now? And
So it's a brief sneak peek about what the programme is on BBC tonight, so I recommend you watch that. But what he says in the interview is that he was really fearful about the repercussions of him saying this. He's been holding on to this burden that he was actually illegally trafficked into his country. And when he came clean with that, would he be deported? And the Home Office have got back to him and said, you know, we're not going to investigate this because you're a child. You'd have no say in the matter. And for him, that was a big relief because he's been holding on to that for so many years. And this is one of our most decorated Olympians in British history. And yet he was trafficked as a child. And so I've got a four-year-old. I can't imagine the pain of losing the dad at that age and then being trafficked at nine. I've got a seven-year-old and she's not far away from that. And it just, so it made me think, well, what's going on in our country? And how is this, how widespread is this? So we have the UNICEF UK child trafficking briefing here. And there is almost 50 million boys and girls are on the move around the world. So we know a lot of places at war, there's refugee camps, places in Calais. There's just lots of children that have lost parents and they're trying to get to a better place. And many are fleeing violence, conflict, persecution. That is an awful lot. And what they said, and what Mo Farah says as well, when he was illegally trafficked in, is that he was allowed to go to school, but he was almost kept as a house slave. He had to do all the chores. He had to feed the baby. He had to do everything. And it was only later in his school years when he started to talk to his PE teacher about it that then he was brought in, social care was brought in, he was found foster parents. So he was trafficked in. He was almost treated like a slave, but fortunately he was allowed to go to school. And there's so much of this under the current of the UK that scares me. Like, children are so precious and they're so incredible, and it's a massive problem around the world. So I want to pray about that this morning. I also don't want to ignore the rest of this Luke 18 verse. So we have this contrast here. There's children that are coming to Jesus and being touched by him. There's just this purity, this like open-eyed wonder happening. And then there's also this man who comes full of his own goodness. So he comes eye to eye, eyeballs Jesus and said, you know, what else do I need to do? And he leaves sad because he's come in his own righteousness. And Jesus calls it out. He says, actually, you need to sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor. And he realizes he can't do this because he's trusting on his own values, his own security. He's not fully trusting in God. And when we give our lives to God, it does feel like you're jumping off a diving board, or you're taking a massive leap of faith, or something big is happening in your life, and you're not quite sure what it might mean. And it kind of feels like you're trying to give it all, and throughout our lives we're trying to work that out. Here they talk about money, so I want to talk about trafficking and money this morning. There's big issues. So this book is called The Spirit Level: why equality is better for everyone. So perhaps a picture of the kingdom of God might be a more equal world. I believe it is. So just to read the blurb quickly: why do we mistrust people more in the UK than the Japanese do? Why do Americans have higher rates of teenage pregnancy than the French? What makes the Swedish thinner than the Australians? The answer in each case is inequality. This groundbreaking book, based on years of research, provides hard evidence to show how almost everything from life expectancy to mental illness to violence to literacy is affected not by how wealthy a society is, but by how equal it is. That societies with a bigger gap between rich and poor are bad for everyone, including the well-off. How can we find the positive solutions towards a happier, fairer future? So, the evidence shows that reducing inequality is the best way of improving the quality of the social environment, best way to get to the kingdom of God. So there is something here about money. And actually, if we're building bigger barns, then we're not approaching the kingdom of God. And the more inequality we have, the worse everyone is, the more fearful the rich become, and the worse off the poor become. And yeah, that is, and I've seen it in my lifetime in this country, the inequality getting bigger and the gap getting bigger and bigger. The rich are getting richer and the top 1% of the country are getting far richer, and the poor are just becoming a bigger and bigger percentage around the world. That needs to change. So let's pray about that as well. I'm going to pray about children. And also it says that, you know, in the UK, the children suffer from the most depression and stuff in the world, which is crazy when we think about how much wealth there is in this country. So nice prayer. There's lots to pray there about. Jesus, I thank you for the gift of children. I thank you for the joy, the richness, the creativity, the energy, and just, yeah, the gift that they are. I thank you that you have chosen them by creating them, that they are part of this world that you have created and you want to see become more of your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for all the children that we meet in schools. I thank you for the assembly that Fabian's going to do in school today. And I pray that you would just bless him. Would you fill him with your spirits so that he can speak truth and love to those children that are there? And it's an amazing gift to be able to talk to over 100 kids at once. And I just pray that the gospel would just come alive through him. And Lord, I thank you for all the children that we're in contact with through the church. And Lord, we just bring this problem of trafficking, of immigration, of the migration across the world, of people coming from a violent place, people have lost so much and what to do. Lord, I pray for those children that have lost everything, that need a safe place to stay. I pray that we would be a place to be able to offer that. And God, I'm sorry when we turn a blind eye to it, because these problems are so much bigger than we can deal with. It just feels like such a huge issue that it's much easier to ignore. So Lord, would you give us a compassionate heart? Would you help us when we feel fatigued with it all? And help us know what we're called to do here in Taunton or here in our homes. Amen. And Lord, we pray for protection now and all those that are in a hopeless place. Pray that your grace, your light would be the brightest in all those that are the darkest places. And Lord, I also pray for this difficult issue of money. The warning there that Jesus has about the rich entering into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, would you help us deal with our finances with wisdom and with integrity?
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.